Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Real Talk at Blue Think Tank. I'm your host, Marty Smith. Stay tuned.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Jill Scott-Heron. My accomplices are operators from Left to Right, Eddie Knowles, a drummer for the Denny's Lulu Dance Group, a drummer for the Simba Dancers, and a percussionist for a group called Black and Blues. The brother to my immediate left is Charlie Saunders of the Simba Dance Group and a former drummer for the Red Porca. David Barnes, singer for Black and Blues, will be heard later on in the evening. We'd like to do a poem for you called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, primarily because it won't be.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and count out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Full Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Lyndell Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem Sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bull Winkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that car TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict a winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins stolen blue watch in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. The Green Acres of Beverly Hillbillies and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if they find his new chain on Facebook tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arnold, women's liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Ware or Francis Scott Keys, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a drum in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs and make dogs bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brother. The revolution will be live.
Baby, I've been riding
I think it was 4:30 or so. No, it was maybe 3:30 in the morning, and I just popped out of bed for some reason, and I tuned in. I don't even watch this channel, but Steve Harvey was, I guess, a early morning show or repeat or something, and they had Layla Hathaway, which is one of my best singers, you know, that, just like her dad, that voice is just golden. Still, the Layla Hathaway at 3:30 in the morning singing the slow song to live guitar, and she was basically saying, you got to love yourself, and you need to start by getting in the mirror. And I was like, well, hold on, where did this come from? And, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning. I just popped out of bed. I just something to turn the TV off. I'm going to get up normally at 4 in the morning, but something to turn the TV off. But normally I get up at 4 and watch the news and lay in the bed. No, I got up out of bed, turned the TV off, laid a half away, just going into it, and I caught the beginning of the song. And then by the time it was over, I think me and Steve Harvey just was like, yeah, enough said. We don't, nothing else can be said, you know. Just got to love yourself and start by looking in the mirror. And you're doing it for yourself. And so she just set me in a mental motion that, all right, well, now that I'm up, yeah, well, let's just do the whole thing. That's shower and shave. So we can get some coffee in. So everything was 30 minutes early. All my energies were up because of Layla Hathaway and something to get up and tune into this channel, which was KTLA, by the way. Yesterday, we were dealing with election coverage and things that were trending. And before I got the notice, or later in the day, the Black Lives Matter activist, Jasmine Abdullah, her sentence thing was reduced to 90 days and 18 days served, I believe, yes, which is a whole lot better looking than the 4 years she was facing on made-up trumped-up charges nonetheless. A lot of people in radio are talking about the lack of care or concern about serious police abuse cases and agency violations under our district attorney, Lacey, who's running unopposed, by the way, because the system is jury-rigged. As well as under her watch, she's moved to prosecute and shut down protesters for this, that, and the other. So 4 years for this young lady reduced to even 90 days. It's a ridiculous charge. Lynching, pre-lynching, because she was trying to stop what essentially just counted to police abuse. And so it's about silencing protest. And that's one of the reasons why it's like, okay, well, get louder. And then yesterday we were all stunned by the news prior to the election and all during the election that AP, Associated Press, NBC, and then ABC and everybody else now declared Hillary Clinton the winner of the Democratic nomination for president. This was prior to any counting of votes, and now that we know what transpired, she flat out won, or Bernie Sanders flat out lost California and some other key states that he was hoping for, banking on. We will never know to what degree people drew up a middle finger and decided not to come out after the announcement. We will assume, though, that it was quite substantial because all of the prior polling had Bernie Sanders so far there that the results suggest that the outcome was skewed because of the inappropriate release of termination by, this is non-Democratic Party people, by the way. This is based on a poll of superdelegates and crunching the numbers. This is why they have a convention to certify. And this is why superdelegates don't vote until the convention. So their commitment means nothing until the actual vote day. By all odds, because these are Democrats behaving badly in the system, as Bernie Sanders suggested, is out of whack. To add, President Obama, who's fully in on it, called to congratulate Secretary, as well as thanking Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, and setting up a Thursday meeting, tomorrow meeting with him. Probably convince him to gracefully bow out. What's the problem with all this? Why have a convention if you're going to decide it prior? Isn't this exactly, and all of the stories of the poll irregularity and changes in the law, we now produce ID. I was a polling worker for decades. I've worked every position, even the inspector. I know what it's about. California has never, in the last 10 years, had to show an ID, but now for new voters, you need to have an ID. I don't think that really disenfranchised too many folk in California, because you can't go nowhere here without an ID. We even have IDs for people here illegally. Or undocumented. So there's no excuse now not to have an ID. You can be cited for not having your ID in California. I know that from high school. Point being is that the jury rigging seems to be obvious in your face. And the revolution is in part being televised because we, the people who are being bamboozled, decided we wanted to socialize about it and get caught up in the horse race rather than the substance of it all and how it's going to adversely affect you going forward. None of the foolishness out of Donald Trump's mouth has really affected is publicity. It probably has increased. Yes, we've had some Republicans say they weren't going to take their support back, but he already announced just earlier a couple of days ago that this is not even about, it's not about the Republicans or the Democrats. It's about restoring a certain sense of psychology within America. And I said this on many of my shows over the year now, that the guy intentionally was popping off to create this type of effect, and the grand beneficiary of it all has been Hillary Clinton, whom he once was a backer of. Oh, so you got to be careful with the secret deal, calling her crooked for a reason. I don't know how much involvement Senator Clinton had in the decision to decide that she won it all early prior to the elections all across the nation. I don't know who she did, but I've heard that some of her campaign staffers in the higher echelon did have agreements with the New York Times and this, that, and the other to broker these type of arrangements. At the end of the day, they should be ashamed for putting a damper on your willingness and design to vote after all we had this hype installation about the, you know, standing up for your rights and, you know, Selma and this, that, and the other. That's all bullshit. It's all bullshit, people. They're lying to you like a sack of shit. And if you want to believe it, you go right ahead. Now you see the same dirt that you saw with Bush Gore in the Republican side on the Democratic side, which suggests that the system is jury-rigged and you should either get used to it or do something about it. What are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do? This is Real Talk at Blue Think Tank. Take a quick break and get back to it. Okay, we're back. Real Talk at Blue Think Tank. Today is Wednesday. I'll be back Friday. Real Talk, Real Politics. And I'm sure I have a lot to say with regard to politics because it is going down on multiple levels. When you have the Speaker of the House just come out and say that Donald Trump's remarks is racist, and everybody else, and you know, I was born in Alabama. I lived in the Bay Area. Bay Area is not this liberal bash, still one of the most conservative and racist places you ever want to go, like Chicago. It's the whole Bay is cut up into ethnicity pockets. Oakland is on the black side, and Bayview, Hunters Point is on the black side. You move down toward Daly City, it's like you should expect Filipinos in Daly City, and you should expect Filipinos in Fremont, because they cluster. Same with Laotians in the Bay Area or Southeast Asian Hispanics, they cluster. I lived in Fruitvale, a very strong location for Latinos. So the Bay Area is as black and white as Alabama, to me. But with regard to Donald Trump, you know, I think with a lot of people who have something to say and may not. I mean, I'm looking at this in the context of Muhammad Ali. I'm looking at Muhammad Ali, A Portrait in Words and Photographs. And it's a beautiful little book written by Nail Liefert, 195 pages. It's got color, black and white. And I found this in the trash 3 months ago, and I read the whole book. And I just pulled it out when he just passed. And I'm just thinking about, like, Donald Trump is stealing the thunder of a Tupac and a Muhammad Ali and saying stuff that normally would get any other white folk in trouble or even hurt. Because if the crowd could get to Donald Trump and not his supporters, they would probably do the same to him, which would rip him apart. But at the end of the day, I think he's a very intelligent guy and knows what he's doing. And it's called race baiting, some form of hate. But then I saw something else within him, which is, I just call it NTB. Because a lot of folks is NTB around me. All kinds. And you know what that means, right? It's not too bright. You don't attack a judge. They're not the one that's handling your case or your people's case. Oh, no. You don't do that. And even Al Cameron money you got. Bill Clinton didn't even do that when he was in court. So it's just a judgment. Not knowing how to rein in your mouth. We don't let children say that stuff. So how can some guy run for president? No. We're going to call it what it is, a racist statement, which now makes most folks think that you are a racist, that you can't back away from this stuff. You just get embroiled in it, you know. So like growing up in South L.A. in the 80s, you know, you didn't even look at another black guy. Because you know someone's going to jump off. It's just to keep your head down, keep it pushing. And if you was all about the eyebrow-to-eyebrow contact, then you need to be ready to handle that. And Donald Trump just has that stigma about him, whereas, you know, it's all about him and all about setting it off. And I can't believe we've gotten to the point again where we're dealing with two presidential negatives. Hillary Clinton has as many pieces of baggage as Donald Trump. The difference is the style of baggage. Donald Trump is on some basic bags of Samsonite, some Gucci bags filled with junk. And they're both going for the same office. And in many cases to me, it's just, I can't get away from the notion that why is this so, like Hollywood, so white? Why is this just like, it's all about a white thing. Okay? And white folks demanding that we do this or that. Even Bernie Sanders, good as he don't change. It's just everybody's just pissed off, angry, and you know, it's just gotten to the point where why even have an election? Let's just, you know, have the Pope come in and sanctify with Queen Elizabeth that Hillary Clinton is the grand poobah-ish of the next 4 years, period. And we can save the taxpayers money. They don't have to pay for all them limousines, all them dances, and, you know, all them bands that got to go to the inaugural and all the parties. That's paid nothing. Just have a ceremony. And we can all do it online. You know, the Queen can stay over where she at. Pope can be over at the Vatican kicking it. Hillary can be at the White House. And we can all tune in on, what is her favorite? Snapchat. And just have a good hallelujah, American social media, this is the way it is, and ain't nothing you can do about it, ball. How about that there, huh? And there I go again. I'm going to go to the hospital.